Again, I want to welcome you this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We are continuing our series entitled Empowered. And one of the things that I think is important for us to understand is that we are not called to be spectators, but we are called to make a difference in our world. Can I get an amen on that one?
Amen.
Can I get a loud amen on that one?
Amen.
I remember when I was in seventh grade, so you got to imagine seventh grade me. I was not this tall. I was probably not much taller than this podium here. And I made the basketball team. Yeah, you would never guess it. I remember because the jersey that I wore, the armpit area for it went down to my waist. And I held a ball that was just like, you know, like three times the size of my chest cavity, my thoracic cavity. It was just huge, right? And you'll never guess it, but I never played, or very rarely played. It was usually like, yeah, we've got 2 minutes left, we're down by 30, throw in Dave, right? And, you know, kind of thing. He can't mess it up any more than it is. And I remember after one game, my parents weren't able to take me home, and so they asked the coach if he'd be kind enough to take me back home, and he said yes. And I remember being in that car, driving down 118th Ave in Edmonton, crying. And I was so upset because I told my coach, I didn't sign up to sit. I signed up to play. And I want you to understand that when it comes to the kingdom of God, we have not signed up just to sit. We have been called to be a part of something that makes a difference in our world. And it doesn't matter how tall you are or how short you are. Can I get an amen from some of the short people in the room? It doesn't matter. God has something for you to do. And not only has He called us, but He has given us His Spirit to empower us. And we've been reflecting on this as we've been looking at Acts chapter 1 and 2, specifically focusing on verses 17 through 21. And as we started out, we remembered or we recognized that God has what we need for the days that we are in. How many know that the days we are in are always interesting? Like, I don't know about you, but between Sundays, you never know what's going to take place. Sometimes there's great events, sometimes there are tragic and terrible events. And we witnessed that this past week. And these are the days that we are a part of. Yet these days, God has something for us. God has what we need for the days that we are a part of so that we might shine His light and show His love. It was Jesus who told His followers to not leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days he will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand that now more than ever, the followers of Jesus need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need His empowering for the days that we are a part of. We're not smart enough. We're not courageous enough. We're not good looking enough to make the difference that our world needs. We need the Spirit of God alive and at work within us. Last week, we talked about speaking life, about how the outpouring of the Spirit began to change the volume of the church. Remember the whole, what's that noise? There's a noise that God wants to cause to arise within His people, something that's not just done in private, but something that spills out into public. You see, from Pentecost, there arose a noise from within the church that empowered them to accomplish the divine mission. And so we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to partner with the Spirit. We need to learn how to give voice to His stirring in our lives. Because it's the Spirit of God that empowers His people to speak life in a broken world. And you know what? We need that. We need that. Well, today I want to talk about seeing different. How many know that our perceptions impact our actions and our interactions? How we see impacts how we behave. You know, if you see that something isn't going to work, you're just like, I'm not going to sign up for this, or maybe I'm not going to stick around for this. Because the way we perceive, the way we see things, so it impacts how we interact and how we act in so many ways. Like we've watched this over the last couple of years with COVID as it has gone through, and there was a level of fear that arose, so much so that even looking at other people, people became perceived sometimes as a threat to be avoided. And it's interesting that when we see something, and it can cause us to interact in certain ways, sometimes we can go through life thinking there's a whole lot that we're owed or that we deserve. And if we live with an entitled mentality, it can affect how we live. That's why I think this weekend that we celebrate Remembrance Day, it's important for us to remember and to give thanks. Now let me ask you, are there any perfect people in the world? How many know there's no perfect people? How many know if there's no perfect people, there's never going to be a perfect country? Can I get an amen on that one? And let me tell you, if all you focus on regarding a person, if all you look at a person, if all you can see are their negative aspects and attributes, how many think that will affect how you interact with that individual? Absolutely. You'll want to avoid them. You'll want to stay away from them. Because if that's all you see is the negative stuff, why be a part of it? It's no different for a country. That if all you do is you focus on the negative things, well, don't be surprised if the way you act within it is impacted. And this is why I think that regardless of where we're at, that you know what, we live in a place where we have privileges and we have opportunities and we've been given a gift. And how many know if we've been given a gift, we ought to be thankful? Can I get an amen on that one? Because I'm convinced that God has given us many great gifts, and if we can see the gifts around us, it changes how we interact with our world. You see, if we can see it, it begins to change how we interact. And again, it's not just with our country, it's with our times, it's with our families, it's with our spouses. How we see impacts how we relate. If we can't see hope, how many know we're going to live like there's no hope? And that's not what the church has been called to be. How many know that because God is present, we got hope? How many know that because Jesus is alive, we have hope? No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance. And that is the piece that is to move us and empower us. And so as we think about this idea of seeing different today, the big idea we're going to think around is simply this, that the Spirit of God empowers us to see different so we can live different. The Spirit of God empowers us to see different so we can live different. An idea that I've been thinking about for many moons is this. If you want to make a difference, you have to be different. And I'm convinced if we are going to make a difference in the days that we are a part of, we need to see different. So that we can be different. And the reason we see different is because we see a Savior. We not only see a Savior, but we've been empowered by the Spirit. Now, as we look at Acts chapter 2, we're going to read verses 17 through 21 again. And again, Luke is writing to Theophilus. And in his writing, he's trying to help him to understand that the gospel, the story of Jesus, that Jesus enables us to see different. Isn't it fun to read through the gospels and see how Jesus sees things so differently and how it changes everything? He sees a sick person and he says, you know what? I see your brokenness, yet I also see that God is present to do something and change it. And so the sick were healed. Those who were discouraged were lifted up. That because Jesus saw different, and for us it's a reminder that Jesus sees our world differently than us, and because of it, it can empower us to see differently. But not only that, Luke wanted Theophilus to know that the Spirit of God has been poured out so that God's people will see the world they're a part of differently. And so as we begin looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. This is a part of the message that Peter shares. And this is what it says, beginning in verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. In the last days. How many know we're a part of the last days? And Jesus says, or the prophet says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. This is what God wants to do. In the last days, in these days, he wants to pour it out. Now, I want you to see what happens next. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. We talked about that last week. Now see this next part. Your young men will see visions. Everybody say, see visions. See, when the Spirit is poured out, you're going to begin to see differently. Not only that, your old men will dream dreams. Everybody say, dream dreams. See, I love this. Now, there are some days I want to see visions so I can feel young. And then there's other days where I'm like going, no, I just need a nap. So, Lord, help me dream dreams. Can I get a witness? I know some of you this morning during service, you may just be saying, I am trying to enter the Lord's rest so I can dream dreams. And that's okay, Jim. We love you. And did you know Jim is not allowed to listen to me preach while he's driving? It's not safe for him. It's not safe for anybody on the road. So, Jim, I love you. I have to do that every once in a while. But I love this, that in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit, and your young men are going to see visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that awesome? And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love this idea. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And just so you know, as it's being recorded, it's actually, if you read in Joel where this prophecy comes from, in that the ordering is this. It goes, old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. But it gets flipped here because in Acts, visions and seeing becomes a huge theme throughout, that as the church begins to move in the power of the Spirit, they begin to see differently while they're awake. And this is so important for us. Now, this idea of vision is really about a divine revelation. It's more than just being able to see what we see with our eyes. It's really about seeing from heaven's perspective. If you've ever read Proverbs 29:11, in the King James it says this, without a vision, the people perish. In the NIV it will say this, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And this idea of vision, where there's no vision, the people perish, or without revelation, or where there's no revelation, this idea of vision is really something that God gives so that you can see from His perspective. I don't know about you, but I often go through life just seeing from Dave's perspective. Like Dave is 5'10", and I kind of see from a 5'10" kind of level. You know, I see different things, and it's just the way my mind works. And this is what Dave sees, and I can tell you all these fun stories. And some of you, you've heard me share ideas. You're like, he's just messed up. And the reason is because that's how Dave sees. Yet how many know that God sees something different than you and me? I want you to know that God sees your life differently than you see your life. Some of you look in the mirror. Some of you look in the reflection of your past and you just see the messed up person that you are. God looks at you and He doesn't see you based on your past. He looks at you and He sees that purpose and that potential that he placed in you at your making. He doesn't see you for all those. He sees the potential that he has placed within you. And when we come to faith in Christ Jesus, there is a forgiveness that we experience that our mistakes don't even mar his perception of us. You see, we need heaven's perspective. God sees your family differently than you see your family. God sees your situation differently than you see your situation. God sees the things that are going on in our country, in our community, in our world. It doesn't matter. He sees it differently than we see it. And I want you to know that God wants to help us see as he sees. How many think that if we saw as God saw, it might change the way we see things? And again, if it changes the way we see things, it's going to change the way we act and interact with things. See, I think part of what God wants to do is he wants to sanctify our imagination. How many of you have moments where your imagination runs wild? Do you ever have those moments where all of a sudden your like mind goes in all these different things, and for some of us it goes to dark places at times? I remember just after we were married and we'd moved to New York, we had a couple small kids. I think we just had Sam and John at the time, and Rachel had that day where she was with kids all day, and she was just like, I need some space. Any moms here have those moments where you're like, I just need space? And so she was having one of those. And so she's just like, it was getting late, and she's like, why don't you put the kids to bed, and I'm going to go shopping. And it was grocery shopping. I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. So I put the kids to bed, and I had this idea that my wife was just running out to the store to pick up a few things and then would come home. But she wasn't picking up a few things. She was shopping. And she wasn't like shopping with intense purpose and focus. It was kind of like, oh, I'm by myself. Let's just shop. It wasn't even splurge. It was just take your time. And I am at home. And this is just, you know, this is before cell phones were all over the place. And I'm like going, okay, put the kids to bed. I do my stuff. I'm like, where's my wife? And then I start thinking, oh my goodness, maybe there's been an accident. Maybe she's in a ditch. Maybe she's dying in a ditch somewhere. And you know what happens? How many of you have these imagination thoughts? And it goes on, and it just kind of like rolls and grows and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then when she came home, I was two things. Number one, I was grateful she was alive. But I was upset because I had, like, she made me, I was like, I thought you were dead in a ditch, you know, kind of thing. Because what happens with our seeing is all of a sudden our imaginations can begin to imagine terrible things. Yet what God wants to do is instead of creating and generating fear in your heart and mind, he wants to give us an ability to see with hope. That God can do something amazing. Some of you, you're currently in some situations and circumstances that are quite big. They're daunting, and they cause fear in your heart. And sometimes your imagination begins to move in all these different directions of what's going to be, and you're not sure how it's all going to play out, and it causes you to act and interact in your world based on this sense of this impending doom. Yet I want you to know that God longs to allow his Spirit to rest upon you so that you can begin to see the hope that is greater than the circumstance you're in. He wants to help you see what you cannot see and even what others cannot see. Again, as I mentioned, if you go through Acts, you'll see this theme of seeing. And I want to note just a few things that when this Spirit revelation, when this outpouring of the Spirit rests upon our life, how it begins to change what we see. What will happen is this: when the Spirit is poured out upon you, you will begin to see opportunities for restoration and transformation. Like, you'll begin to see beyond just the junk and the mess that is there, and you'll be able to begin to see that there is a beauty that can arise out of this that is far greater than our own wisdom, power, and strength. You can see this in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John go to the gate called Beautiful, and they're walking by it, and it says that Peter saw a man who was lying there, who was paralyzed. And Peter's just like, you know what? Because the Spirit of God was upon me, he said, you know what? There can be beauty out of this. This man can walk again. And guess what? He did. You see, when the Spirit of God rests upon us, we begin to see not just from our perspective, we see from God's perspective, and we can begin to see what He can do in a situation. And we begin to see hope that allows our faith to flourish and to begin to believe that even in this place, God can do something. See, let me ask you, what do you see when you see your life, your family, the world you're a part of? What do you see? Some of us, because of what we've seen, we've become cynical. I think cynical, having a cynical heart, and just so you know, I battle with this at times, because there's a part of me that's a little bit cynical. But I want you to know, cynicism robs us of faith. It robs us of faith. It robs us of the fact that God says, listen, in this place, I can work. I can move. I can act. What do you see? Do you see the opportunities that God is placing around you, even in the midst of your difficulties and your uncertainties? You see, we have the opportunity right where we're at, no matter the situations, for our days, to recognize that God can begin to work and move and give us a sense of seeing through His Spirit, to know that we actually have hope, that God's not done yet. I want you to say, God's not done yet. You see, over the world, over the situations you're in, you need to recognize God's not done yet. And when you allow His Spirit to fill you, you begin to see He's not done yet. When we allow the Spirit to fill us, not only do we see opportunities for restoration and transformation, He also gives us the ability to see beyond the moment. I love the story of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Now, it's a terrible story in that it's the account of the first martyr. The first person who is killed simply because he believes that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He has died and He has risen from the dead. And even as Stephen is in the midst of a pressure cooker of a situation, rather than being overwhelmed by the events he found himself in, he was empowered to see something different. And this is what it says in Acts 7, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. I love that. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God. Can you see the glory of God in the situation and the circumstance you're in right now? Can you see the glory of God? Because when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you begin to see that He is not absent. We are not forgotten. He goes on to say, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. You see, when the Holy Spirit rests upon you, you begin to see Jesus in the midst of your situation and the midst of your circumstance. You get to see Jesus even in the ugly of life. And I want you to know, life is filled with ugly moments. But there is no moment so ugly that the beauty of our Savior is not present. And part of it is saying, God, would you help me see you? And I want you to know God longs to pour out His Spirit in our days that we might see the glory of God in the moments that we are a part of. Not only that, the Spirit of God not only wants to provide, help us see opportunities for restoration and transformation, He also wants to help us see beyond the moment, but He also wants us to see the next steps. Did you know that we have a God who longs to direct us through this life? And you'll find again in Acts in different places where God provides vision for the next step. Now, this is something we all struggle with because we don't know. We know it's going to end and we know God's going to make it all right, but we're not always exactly sure how He's going to make it all right. We're not always sure how, you know, it's going to turn out or what step to take. And we wrestle in those moments. And sometimes we go this way and that, searching for it. I want you to know God wants to help us see and understand the next steps for our life. Again, in Acts chapter 16, Paul was in that place where he was searching which way to go. And he was trying this, that, and the other. And it says this in Acts 16, verse 9. It says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. He had a vision. He wasn't sure which way to go, but all of a sudden, at that night, the Spirit of God came upon Paul and he saw a vision. And that vision allowed him to know what steps to take. And just so you know, this was huge for Luke's life. Now, you may not realize this, but up to this point in the story, Luke is an outsider. It is in this passage that Luke himself becomes a participant in the great story. Because instead of it just being about they and them and he and him, it becomes about we and us. And I want you to understand that God wants to work in such a way in our lives to give us direction, to lead us to the place that He would have us. You see, some of you, you're in difficult situations and circumstances. God's not done. I love what it says over in Psalm chapter 23. Even though I walk through, everybody say through. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Even though you walk through, I want you to know the valley of death is not the final destination. The difficulty you're in is not the final destination. There is a place God will lead you through, and He does it through His Spirit. And He longs to give you a vision of something beyond where you're at, and you will find not only opportunities for restoration and transformation, not only will you be able to see beyond the moment and see God present there, but He also wants to show you next steps. This is why I say the Spirit of God empowers us to see different so we can live different. And God wants us to see different. So how do we do it? Real quickly, if we're going to see different, we need to sensitize our hearts to His presence and His purpose. We need to be a people that are sensitizing our hearts to His presence and purpose. For me, vision, because it's about divine revelation, because it's about God's perspective for me, vision always flows from God's presence. I got to tell you, there have been many times in my life where I'm not sure what to do next. There are many times I've experienced, I'm like going, God, this doesn't make sense. God, where are You in these moments? And for me, if I can get into God's presence, it begins to change the way I see. I remember during Hurricane Katrina, after that Hurricane Katrina went through, I had the opportunity to go down to Alabama and work on roofs. The The thing went through, I think it was in August, end of August, and I think we were there the end of September, beginning of October timeframe. And I was doing roofs. Now, you may not realize this, but roofs in Alabama at the end of September, beginning of October, are still ridiculously hot. I remember I bought a whole package of socks, like 12 socks, and I was like, I was replacing my socks like all the time just because you're standing on the hot shingles. And we took a 24-hour bus ride down. It was awful. Bus rides are, how many like flying over bus? Yeah. Took the bus down, was on hot roofs. I just remember getting so exhausted and so tired. And you know those moments where you just want to give up? You're like, okay, I'm done. And I remember I was at that place, and it was during one of the breaks because I was like, here, drink some water. And we drank the water that eventually gave me beaver fever and the whole team. Little Gerardia, it was beautiful. Makes the trip more special. But I remember because we were doing this church, and my feet were hot and sweaty, and it was just awful. And I just remember, because we got up early, worked all day, worked late, and I just remember laying down in the sanctuary, and I had my shoes off. Place probably smelled. I laid down at the floor, and I put my feet up on the stage, and just tired. And they had a piano, and so I was like, you know what, I'm going to go sit at the piano. And I remember in that moment, because I was absolutely exhausted, and I began to play the song, How Great is Our God. And in that moment, I just began to worship God, because this is what I know, that when I get in God's presence, he gives me the ability to see something different. And I took my 15, 20-minute break in the presence of God. And you know what? I stopped noticing the heat. I stopped being overwhelmed by the exhaustion. And I began to discover the presence of God and the one who gives strength and direction and hope and encouragement. So often in the midst of our the challenge of life, we look to all these different things to provide a sense of solace. Like we're tired, and so I just need to binge watch something. And just so you know, I've done this. Or maybe I just need to, you know, I just need to get out of town. I've done that. But I want you to know what we need in the midst of all of this is we need the presence of God. I want you to know your situation, as difficult and dark as it is still not greater than our Savior. And if you can see Him, if you can allow His Spirit to fill you, He'll be able to help you see beyond where you're at. We have to sensitize our hearts to His presence. And not only His presence, but also His Word. Because what you'll find out is the Word of God will begin to provide the proper parameters for your visioning. Because this is what I know. Dave sees lots of things. But just because Dave visions something doesn't mean it's God's vision. Can I get an amen? Amen. And just because you vision something doesn't mean it's God's vision. And it's the Word of God that helps provide the parameters for what He wants to do. And this is why we need to sensitize our hearts to His presence and to His purpose. Not only that, we have to, if we are going to experience vision, this empowering to help us see different, we have to seek heaven's perspective in the place we find ourselves. Have you ever asked, in the midst of where you're at, what God wants to do through His Spirit in this situation? I want you to know sometimes it requires wrestling. I wish the Christian journey was easy, but that's not what we've been called to. But I do know that God has something to say to us in the place we find ourselves. God has something to say to us. And so we seek His presence. We reflect on His Word. But then we begin to ask, God, what is it that You want to do in this situation? Lord, would You help me see from Your perspective rather than just mine? You see, we need heaven's perspective for our families, for our communities, for our country, for our world. What is heaven's perspective? And then lastly, we need to live out a new perspective. You see, as God reveals to you what His plan is and His desire, part of it is learning to walk in faith and allowing our lives to flow from heaven's vision for our lives. And just so you know, this is part of what Acts is about, because Paul has this incredible vision as he's on his way to Damascus, ready to persecute the church, and Jesus shows up and helps him see life is way different than what he thought. And it was in that moment, in that seeing, that God gave Paul an assignment. He gave him the next steps. And many years later, as he stood before a king, King Agrippa, to give an account of his life, he shares his whole story, and then he says this, and I love this. "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Did you know that we experience benefit today because Paul was not disobedient to the vision from heaven? You know, he couldn't see it. Like, he didn't see us per se today, yet he knew that if I live out what God is calling, and if I begin to live out what it is He has shown me, oh my goodness, does it affect people? Now, just so you know, Paul's life was not easy. Living out the vision is not always easy. Sometimes it's painful. But because he lived it out, we experience the blessing today. See, I think for you and for me, there's a vision that God wants to give us, a direction, a next step, a way to move forward that is going to help people beyond us. And because you're going to wrestle through some things and you're going to live out that vision and you're going to experience pain and difficulty, what you're going to do is you're going to make it possible for other people to experience benefit because of your struggle. I was talking to a friend recently, and they had gone through an ugly season. How many know sometimes you go through ugly seasons? And he's living out God's purpose for his life in a place that he wrestles with at times. And we talk about it. I'm like, dude, you just gotta keep doing what God has called you to do. And just so you know, doing what God calls you to do isn't always easy. And he endured deep hurt personally, because he was living out God's purpose. His wife experienced hurt and his family. Yet they knew this is what God had called them to. And even though it all hurt, he just kept going forward. And the purpose of God was accomplished through it. And I remember talking with him in the midst of all of this stuff. I kept telling him, I'm like, you never know that you're bearing a burden that people will never have to bear because you are willing to walk in the purpose God has for you. You're going to make it easier for someone else to live out God's purpose because you were faithful and you were obedient. And you allowed your life to be directed by heaven's perspective rather than earth. And that person is no different than you and me. That because you might be in the midst of something awful and difficult, and you might be saying, you know, I just want out of it. Yet I'm convinced that even in that place, God says, listen, I have a purpose for you in this, that as you live out my purpose, if you live out the vision I have for this, your life will provide a blessing that other people, they will not have to experience certain burdens because you carried it. And like Paul, may our testimony be that we have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. You see, your life matters deeply to God. And He longs to empower you with His Spirit so that you can see different. Because if you see different, you'll live different. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. They'll begin to see not from an earthbound perspective, but from heaven's perspective. They'll begin to see opportunities for restoration and transformation. They'll be able to see beyond the moments. They'll be able to see next steps. So may we, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're going through, be the people that say, Lord, give me vision. God, help me see in this place. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon me, that I might see different, in order that I might live different. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you care deeply about us. And Lord, I thank you that you want to pour out your Spirit upon us so that we can see different. Lord, I know that we struggle and we wrestle because, Lord, we're in the midst of situations and circumstances that seem to overwhelm, and Lord, our vision is limited. And so, God, we ask you to pour out your Spirit so that we can see from your perspective. Lord, our world needs men and women filled with the Spirit who see things different. And so, God, our hearts are open to you. And just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many here would say, you know what, I'm in the midst of a situation and I just need heaven's vision. I need to see from heaven's perspective. That's you. Would you raise your hand? Oh, I see all those hands. You can put them down. Lord Jesus, these are your children. Lord, these are your children in the midst of struggle, in the midst of the wrestling, Lord, that need to see. Lord Jesus, would you pour out your Spirit upon us? Would you fill us with your Spirit that we might speak your truth, that, Lord, we might see your plan? Lord, we're tired of just seeing from our perspective. God, would you open our eyes? Lord, would you do something in and through our lives? God, we need you. In Jesus' name.